I'm Lisa DeLay, and you're listening to the Spark My Muse podcast. Welcome, everybody, to Spark My Muse. I am so happy to have the ladies from Sacred Ordinary Days, Jen and Lacey, on. Thank you so much, ladies, for being on my show today.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
We're thrilled.
I found you guys. I'm a spiritual formation buff and connoisseur and lover of what you're doing. And when I stumbled on your podcast, I knew I wanted to have you on. And I'm going to kind of infuse what you're doing into the Lenten season. And maybe you can sort of introduce yourselves and talk about what you're doing with your podcast.
Yeah, well, my name is Lacey Clark Elman, and I am a spiritual director. I write about spiritual formation as well. So we swim in the same waters. And Jen and I found each other through social media just because we are of the same generation doing a similar vocation. There's not a whole lot of us younger people out there doing spiritual direction and the like. And so our podcast kind of grew out of our friendship in a soul friends group that we have together with other young female spiritual directors. And I will say young means like under 50. So
right.
So yeah, we started there and noticed quite early on that we had a shared interest in the liturgical calendar and inviting others to engage that more deeply. That was when Jen was doing the final touches on her planner, preparing for the Kickstarter campaign. And I, as well, was developing my Sacred Seasons liturgical wall calendar. So this podcast just seemed like a natural step for us.
Yeah, and absolutely. Jen, you can introduce yourself too. I want to be able to talk about the planner and the calendar too, because those are really neat resources I want to point people toward, and hopefully we'll get into that in a little bit.
Well, thanks. It has been really neat to see folks connect with it, but I'm Jennifer Giles Kemper, and I'm at sacredordinarydays.com, and yeah, like Lacey said, we're both spiritual directors, and my background is at this point now equally in ministry and entrepreneurship. And so what I created this last year, a liturgical day planner, Sacred Ordinary Days, was for me the perfect meeting point of both of those parts of my calling and identity and, you know, two things I love. And it's been neat to see folks connect with it. So we're thrilled to be here. Thanks, Lisa.
Yeah. And for people who don't know what the liturgical calendar is, I know in certain spheres of Christianity, there's a complete ignorance of it. And I didn't grow up with the liturgical calendar at all. I thought that was actually just a Catholic thing. And actually, there's a lot
we
of
didn't
branches
either,
of,
so.
Right?
Yeah, neither one of us grew up with it.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know. And it's a very rich tradition that actually is very grounding. And then there's people who've grown up in it and it's either stale or not that meaningful. And then other people find it extremely grounding and rooting. And maybe you can sort of go over what it is briefly, and then what it sort of means to you and how it's enriched your lives. If you could both take a crack at it if you'd like.
Yeah. The easiest way to explain it is to say that it's feast days and seasons. So holidays is taken from holy days, and that they're feast days and holy days, seasons that the Christian church shares in common. And the idea is that they align us with the life of Christ and help us live into the story of Christ. Like we said, neither of us grew up with them, so they're relatively new to us. And I think for me, the reason that I wanted to create resources to help invite other people into them was, I mean, the easiest way to say it is I felt like I had stumbled across a feast table when I had been eating crackers my entire life. And that's a bit dramatic, but yeah, it was so rich and there was just so much there. And I really wanted to share it. And a lot of the resources that I found were dense and hard to understand. It was almost like you needed to know the language to learn the language. And I thought, I can help with this. And Yeah. So, you know, everybody's familiar with Christmas and Easter. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of people are familiar with Advent and Lent, even if they don't really know what they are. Mm-hmm. And so the church calendar starts with Advent and then goes to Christmas. And then kind of the capstone to that first cycle is Epiphany. And that's the season that we're in now. And Epiphany, depending on, you know, the denomination and what tradition you're a part of, Epiphany is also known as the first of two seasons of ordinary time. And then the cycle sort of starts over, but instead of being towards Christ's birth, it's towards Christ's death. And so then the cycle starts over with Lent and Easter, and then that capstone is Pentecost, which then transitions us into the longest season of the year, which is ordinary time, which is really fitting for at least my experience of life. You have these high moments, and then most of it's just normal.
Well, and what I love about, as Jen was describing the various seasons, and she was saying that some people mark Epiphany as an entire season, other traditions have ordinary time one and just mark Epiphany as a feast day on January 6th, is that really that's showing us that even though there's this general framework that has been in the church for centuries and even longer, that this can be what it's a tool for you for deepening your faith. And so you can make it what you want, and you can form the traditions around it. You can take tools, you know, take things from the past that others are doing, but also you can form your own way of celebrating with your families. And that's what we've especially enjoyed, I think, about our podcast and what we've explored so far, is we're talking about traditions from the past that we have practiced or that are new to us, and then also learning from each other and the Sacred Ordinary Days tribe community on Facebook, new ways of celebrating.
Absolutely. I think one of the hallmarks of our conversation and our approach is really a sense of playfulness. To leave the rigidity to other places of our life where it where it's helpful, and to engage with this again with a sense of play and curiosity, exploration. And my hope has been to just put some tools in people's hands, some language in people's hands, that, you know, from there they can Google or talk to friends or, you know, visit a church that already engages with these seasons. And then also invite people in such a way that re-sparks some curiosity and, again, playfulness. So
And what I see already happening, you know, in our own lives, but also in people that have commented about the podcast, is that this provides a backdrop for our everyday lives, and I think will be especially visible once we enter that long season of ordinary time that follows Pentecost. And so it's providing meaning and providing enriching ritual and tradition in those ordinary places. And that, as we engage year after year, helps us to grow deeper and deeper in our faith, in our own journey, and when you do it together as a community.
Well, that's interesting what you say about play, because I think there's a point to be made there. We often will think of religion, plenty of people connote religion with rigidity and rules, and you have to do this or you're on the outside or you're condemned or something like that. And what ritual can be is this grounding thing that we take joy and pleasure in, that can do actually, you're really saying it's the opposite, and how it enriches your life is sort of the opposite of what people would tend to think of when they think of religious practice.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I actually have a quote on my desk at the moment that I've been playing with this week and didn't plan to talk about at all, but it's a Henry Nouwen quote, and it says, we have been exploring crafting a rule of life, and that's something that I talk about in the planner, and that our, you know, this tribe of people who've gathered around this idea and begun working with these tools, we've all been, you know, playing with this practice of crafting a rule of life. And as I have been doing that for myself, I've really resonated with this quote. It says, "A rule offers creative boundaries within which God's loving presence can be recognized and celebrated. It does not prescribe, but invite. It does not force, but guide. It does not threaten, but warn. It does not instill fear, but point to love. It is a call to freedom, freedom to love. Mm. And it's so funny, you know, here I'm sitting this with this on my desk, no plan to talk about it at all, just it rolling around in my head. And I think it's a great depiction, even just this moment, that the more tools you have in your toolkit and the more you have a framework from which to work, for me, it invites creativity and play and
curiosity.
Yeah, that's true. And have you both found, now I'm kind of interested, we're going to be releasing this during Lenten season. Mm-hmm. And what rituals or new aspects might you add to your backdrop or to your spiritual practices or things you'll do with friends or family that you might recommend to other people to try? Or what themes do you think are present in Lent that could be sort of infused into regular life that you would suggest?
Well, I feel like the major themes of Lent certainly are disruption. It starts with Ash Wednesday, and if you attend an Ash Wednesday service, they place ashes on your forehead and they say essentially, from dust you have come and to dust you will return. And so that kind of is jarring. It kind of shakes you out of yourself, out of your everyday, and kind of initiates you into the desert, the wilderness of Lent, and a time for self-examination. It's often referred to as an interior journey. But I've also found it to be life-giving as well. I think whether, like me, you grew up just hearing about Lent and you knew it was just about fasting, you know, or something like that, or people even growing up in the church, it does have this somber tone. But actually, the word Lent comes from the word spring, springtime. And so really, it can be a life-giving practice as we pause and reorient ourselves, a time for making space, a time to set aside the false self, and awaken, discover the true self through spiritual practice and devotion. And so I feel like the common practices for Lent, fasting, prayer, almsgiving, can really help bring us toward life rather than this common feeling that it's all about death of the false self, rather than all of us. And go ahead.
I'm sorry. You said something in our Advent episode that just continues to resonate with me, and especially as I'm thinking forward to Lent, has new meaning for me. You know, Advent is a season of preparation for Christmas, the same way that Lent is a season of preparation for Christmas. And you commented that you found it really comforting that this new year starts with Advent, that it starts in the dark, that it starts in the waiting. It doesn't start with the birth of the baby, the season of celebration. It starts in the dark. And I think Lent, similarly, that's the place where we're preparing the soil for the bulbs to then flourish during Easter.
And that's what I love. I don't know what it's like to live in the Southern Hemisphere and have Easter come, you know, not with springtime, but with fall. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you can draw some meaningful experience from those metaphors as well. But that's why I love this word, springtime. That's why I love the image of springtime and that a bulb kind of coming up. And I mean, right now I've got crocuses coming up and it's so cold outside. And I'm thinking, what beautiful flower, what are you thinking? And yet it's that tilling of the soil, which when you think about Lent and the source of Lent, it's comes from it. Lent is actually 40 days and not counting Sundays, which were traditionally seen as feast days. And so it reminds us of the Israelites' 40 years of wandering through the desert, as well as Jesus's 40 days fasting in the wilderness. And so these are both times, as Jen was saying, of cultivation, of setting aside anything that was false, so that you will be prepared to step into your true self and your identity in Christ, in God. And so that's what the Israelites were doing in the desert as they wandered. They were throwing off whatever, you know, was left from captivity until they were ready to follow in the way of God. And Jesus, in the same way, spends 40 days fasting, preparing for his ministry to begin. And so I feel like when we think of it in that way, it really can be something that leads us toward life.
Yeah, that is such a good point. And it really makes the Easter celebration that much richer when we've been kind of preparing the whole time. I was thinking about that too. I've focused a lot on Holy Saturday, that I think a lot of people have just, we just skip right over right?
I feel like that is essential.
Oh my goodness, it's the tomb day. It's the day of despair.
Yes.
But if you really don't, it's a very dark and maybe even it would have been a very scary time for the disciples and despairing time. But if you don't really live in that sadness and grief and mourning, which is such a real part of life, then you really can't feel the real highs either, and the joy of resurrection and the joy of new life. And so I think it's important, because Lent can be a really dark time too if you're throwing off everything that that's become a crutch to you, everything that's false.
Yeah, that you've known, your way of being sometimes.
That's a really salient point. And on your podcast, so you're focusing on all of the major times. Maybe you can a little bit unpack some of the things you're going over in general on your podcast.
Yeah. Well, we decided, you know, our main reason for doing this podcast, I had had the idea months and months ago, and I knew that I wanted to create a resource to walk alongside people as they were going through our planner, and many of them going through the liturgical year for the first time. And of course, liturgical year, it's also called the church year or the Christian year, if those are more familiar, if that's more familiar language for you. And so I knew I wanted to walk alongside people, but I'm an extrovert, and I love collaborating with people, which I know is also something you love, Lisa. And I thought, you know, I want to learn alongside somebody and be stretched alongside somebody. And so I invited Lacey to do this with me. And I think that has been the fun of the podcast from the very beginning, is that now it's a whole group of us who are exploring these things together. And, you know, for folks who are interested, you're welcome to join us. Our Facebook group is at facebook.com/groups/sacredordinarydaystribe. And sure enough, it is an actual tribe of people, about 1,500 now, which completely blows my mind. But the conversation in there is really rich, and it's really real, and people share what they're experiencing and what they're practicing and what they're trying, even what's challenging them.
Yeah.
My hope was to create this resource to walk alongside people. And so that's been our intention. We record each episode as we're in or just preparing for each season in real time. It's not like
that's what I love about it. We're journeying with them. It's not like we're just sharing our thoughts and reflections.
Absolutely.
We're in it too.
We're right in the middle of it. We're some of the things that we share, we're exploring for the very first time. Mm-hmm. Some things have been something that we have a little bit more experience with, or that we have studied or learned about. But, you know, Lacey and I even belong to different types of churches. I'm at a contemplative liturgical Baptist church, which I know sounds like
that exists.
Right. That's what I keep getting asked. And I'm in Texas. Mm-hmm. Lacey's.
It's like a progressive Episcopal Lutheran, you know, church plant in Seattle.
Yeah. So. And all the folks that are in tribe, we have people who are Catholic, people who don't really identify with any faith at all, but they're exploring, and there seems to be something here that speaks to them. Actually, there are several people who are members of the Mormon Church who found their way in our tribe, which is totally exciting and different for me, and it's been neat to engage with them. There are Presbyterians and Lutherans. There are pastors. There are stay-at-home moms. There are folks who are working in... Mm-hmm. Gosh, a whole wide variety of jobs, including a 911 call responder and, gosh, I'm trying to think of all the different job types and personality types.
Well, and there are people that have marked the seasons all their lives. And then people that have just started when they got your planner in their hands.
Yep.
Yeah, and your
And it doesn't seem, there's no, you know, disparity there. Everyone's there together helping each other.
Yeah, and I wanted to talk about your planner. So I was actually introduced, which I did not realize this, Lori Neff and I connected, and I knew her a little bit through Midday Connection, and she connected me to Lacey's Perpetual Calendar, which you can a little bit describe in a second, Lacey. Then I found out about Jen and her day planner, which was this Kickstarter thing, and I look and it's like this huge deal, and I was like, what is going on? It's sold out, it's all these, and I was like, this is a big deal. I didn't realize what a massive thing you like stumbled into, and I was like, this is this is a big deal, that and I was like so happy that you raised all that money and you got all that, that there was that much interest. And so you must have been kind of surprised, because you overshot your Kickstarter goal by a lot, it looked like.
Yeah. To say that it was a big deal is really only to say wow. Wow is the only real response. So, like I said, my background's in ministry. That's what all my work experience had been in, and what I studied in school until the last couple of years when I fell into entrepreneurship and really fell in love. And so I have experience in both, and I had wanted a planner. I read a book when I was in college, Girl Meets God by Lauren F. Winter, one of my favorite authors. And the book was set against the backdrop of the liturgical year. I had no idea what that was. And as Lacey tells it, she actually read the same book and had no memory of it being set against the backdrop.
Probably reading at the same time.
Right. And so I think it's a good picture that, you know, things come to you as they should.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I was like, I want to learn this stuff. And so I bought a planner that Church Publishing International produced. I think it's with Morehouse. And started trying to learn the lectionary and the daily office and these liturgical seasons. And as wonderful and beautiful as it all was, I just could not really get my footing, if that makes sense. And so I tried for a long time. And so then I downloaded apps and I did, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And I did at one point start compiling the daily office and the lectionary texts, which, again, some of this language is going to be really familiar for some of you and really unfamiliar for others of you, like it was for me. And I just could not figure out what was what. And the more I tried to put stuff in spreadsheets, the more I thought, like, the whole point of this is that it be a spiritual practice that helps me to be more peaceful, more present, and more purposeful in my day-to-day. Ultimately, that helps me be more like Christ. It wasn't doing any of those things for me. And I thought, like, it's not for lack of effort, and it's not for lack of intelligent capacity. Like, I knew I had the capacity to understand this stuff, but liturgy means the work of the people, and that was the missing piece for me. I didn't have enough of the pieces of the puzzle to actually start working with anything in a meaningful way, and it certainly was not reordering my days or my minutes or my hours at all. It just left me stressed and frustrated, and then kind of with a sense of shame and guilt about, like, what is wrong with me that I can't figure this out? And I just thought, goodness gracious, if I just had a planner that I would just open up to the day and it would have everything right there and that could help me orient to and situate myself within each of these seasons, maybe then I could actually figure this out. And so I just kept thinking year after year, like, somebody's going to create this. Somebody is going to create this. It's so obvious. Somebody is going to create this. And so finally, the last couple of years, I'm like, well, if nobody else is going to create it, I still really want this to exist. And I still think it would make a huge difference for a lot of people. So I'm going to make it. And so we did. And the more I got bids from printing companies, the more I just thought, oh my gosh, how are we ever going to make this? No wonder no one else has made it. It cost so much money. They were like, hi, we would like the price of your firstborn child and your first car and your first house and all of your retirement, like all that, just to print a couple of these. And so, yeah, so we're like, okay, we can invest to design it and develop it and do all the research and compilation, but we can't also cover the cost of printing. And so, yeah, Kickstarter was the decision that we made, and our goal was to print a minimum of 500 of them, which was the only way for it to be cost effective than when we sold it. And even then, you know, it was a $55 planner, which is not cheap. And so, yeah, our goal was $20,000. And we raised 92 plus some, which is 100% because of friends like Lacey, who loved it and shared it, and the other members of our Soul Friends group. And then as they shared it, and then other people were like, oh, this is a cool thing, and shared it. And it is 100% because of the generosity of so many people. And I'm so grateful.
That's amazing. Yeah. And just that other people really latched onto that, really wanted and needed that. And you met a need that you had for yourself, but that other people obviously thought, oh, I want that. I'm going to put money down. I want that really bad.
Hungry. That's the word that comes to mind. Hungry for it.
And Lacey, your perpetual calendar, which is the thing that Lori Neff bought and she thought was so neat. She pointed me toward your website, and then I found out you were a graphic designer and you do other things too, of course, spiritual direction. Mm-hmm. And maybe you can explain what that is. Perpetual calendar. I was like, what is that? So it's a calendar, obviously, you can use year after year.
Mm-hmm. It is. Yeah, I got the idea originally, actually, while on pilgrimage in Ireland. And we had been exploring Celtic Christianity, and I had seen in a gift shop a perpetual calendar for the Celtic seasons. And so that word just stuck with me. And it talked about each of the seasons and kind of prompts for the seasons, what to reflect on and focus on that time of your life. And so that whole idea, the perpetual idea, and then something that was more than just, you know, dates or whatever, but something that actually roots you in that season and guides you through that time of the year, stayed with me. And as I came home and reflected on the seasons of the year and became more fully immersed in them, because as I said, I didn't grow up with them, and so it's really been the past 5 years that I've discovered the seasons, and they've really impacted my own journey. And so I wanted something like that for myself. It's just like Jen said. Mm-hmm. She wanted that. She thought, maybe someone will make this. And
I can just buy it.
Yes. But she wanted something like that for herself. And that's what I wanted for myself. I wanted something. You know, I didn't need the dates of the year. I wanted something instead just to hang on my wall, something that had the color of the seasons, the name of the season, a symbol, the invitations of the season, and something that you just turn as each season turns and changes, and something that then is perpetual, that you can use it year after year. And so I made it. And
it's beautiful.
Thank you. And that's what I wanted to offer people, a new way to step into those seasons in their everyday lives, not just even if you're in a liturgical church, you're talking about it on Sundays and maybe the occasional feast day in between. But this is something I want you to hang on the wall in your kitchen or above your desk, that you just glance at the corner of your eye and remind yourself you're in the season of Lent, and let that draw your attention to their places of wilderness, the places of self-examination, the places of springtime. What is rumbling in the ground beneath you, waiting to come to the surface?
Yeah, that's, and then the specific days, they shift each year, don't they? How are they based?
They do. So that's another. Yeah, that's another reason why I didn't want to. You know, some people at first, after they had seen it, they would ask, like, "Are there dates?" And that's one of the reasons I didn't want to include dates. One, because I wanted it to be perpetual, but two, because it can be complicated.
Mm-hmm. And that's actually, for the opposite reason, that's why I did want to include dates, because mm-hmm. I was trying to learn, like, okay, if Lent is 40 days, not counting Sundays, how on earth am I supposed to figure this out? And what are the systems? And so you can get the Book of Common Prayer, which is an Anglican Episcopal resource. And it gives you some guidelines in there. Of course, your friend Google can help you. Mm-hmm. But
when I've actually made a page on my website. You can go to asacredjourney.net/calendar. And because so many people were asking, I just went through and did Easter, which is like the first Sunday after the first full moon, after the first vernal equinox, you know. And so finally wrote that down. But yeah, it can be complicated.
It can, which is why it's helpful to have both those ongoing resources that can be a companion year after year, and also a resource that can give you some of the specifics so that you can figure out where you are right now and what that has to do with mm-hmm. Lent in the future. So you're asking, Lisa, when they are. Lent starts with Ash Wednesday on February 10th and goes through March.
This year.
Yeah, that's right. This year in 2016. And goes through March 26th. And so it's the 40 weekdays before Easter.
And Saturday. Yeah.
What's that?
Well, you just said weekday, so I was clarifying. That also means Saturday.
Yes. The non-Sunday days. Mm-hmm. And Easter is determined by a lot of the things that Lacey just referenced.
Easter is always going to be on your calendar.
Yeah, Easter is always going to be on your calendar. And so Easter moves around every year based on a bunch of things that are too difficult to explain here. And then Lent is the 40 days before that. Epiphany is longer or shorter depending on when Easter is, which affects mm-hmm. Lent. And so this year, the season right before Lent, Epiphany, is really short because Easter and Lent come really early. Mm-hmm. And so for some folks, it's been interesting to hear the conversations of like, wow, I don't even feel like I really fully experienced Epiphany before I was slammed into Lent. But mm-hmm. the other thing that I love about the liturgical seasons is that they're just so real. You know, like, it is so helpful for me as we, you know, fully engage with Lent and go into this desert season, this season of disruption, where you're going, you're doing some contemplation and self-examination. You're making space mm-hmm. and grieving. That teaches me so much then about what that looks like mm-hmm. when my grandfather dies, mm-hmm. or when a friend loses their job, or
when you're in the dark night of the soul,
absolutely.
Seasons in life, yeah.
And similarly, having those feasting seasons or feast days teaches me so much about what it really looks like to be fully present to and celebrating those good moments. And I think as you're engaging with these different seasons, you know, a lot of folks will dress in black to go to an Ash Wednesday service, or dress in black you know, on Good Friday when they go to a service during Lent, and then dress in bright colors and whites when they come mm-hmm. to Easter. But doing that can also make you very, very mindful that while you're dressing in black, you've just met the love of your life, or you've just found out you're pregnant, or you've just gotten a job promotion. And similarly, when the world around you is celebrating, as during Christmas, for example, you may be mourning the loss of a loved one, or any number of things. Mm-hmm. And I think those moments also have so much to teach us that...
Well, the paradox.
It's all a paradox. It's mm-hmm. all a both mm-hmm. And that you can be celebrating and still sit with someone who's grieving. Mm-hmm. And that mm-hmm. you can be in a season of fasting and still engage with... Mm-hmm. the world around you.
Yeah. As you're saying this, that word formation came up for me. And like this, it's not just a formation tool in which you read along with the life of Christ and you align yourself with his birth and death and resurrection, etc. It's a formation tool because it's forming us for those very moments, like you said, Jin, to be both celebrating and also sitting with someone in their grief. Mm-hmm. It's forming us into the likeness of Christ, not just with the story, but in our own stories.
Yeah, it's really teaching us to be more fully human. Because
if you
can't fully embrace all the highs and all the lows and really be there in the moment, you're numbed out or you're distracted or you're scared of having the lows and the highs. You're really not awake, you know?
Beautifully said, yes. Mm-hmm. And but it's hard, right? Mm. This being fully awake, this being fully alive, this being fully present, it hurts.
Oh, yeah.
It hurts a lot sometimes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think Glennon Melton Doyle says this really well, that there's a reason that she cries so often, and it's the same reason that she laughs so often, and it's because she's paying attention. Uh-huh. And I think that is just the perfect distillation of that sentiment, that when you're fully here, when you're fully alive, fully human, you get all of the beauty of this. And the other thing that the liturgical seasons has shown me is that it is all grace. It is all grace, the dark, the light, the moments where we're journeying outward and celebrating with so many other people, the moments when we're journeying inward and discovering so much about ourselves. It is all grace and has helped me see that much more fully and trust it, even when my head tells me otherwise.
Well, and I think another value too, I had a friend who told me, I think she had just moved and just a lot of stuff was going on, and she had said to her spiritual, it was in the season of Advent, and she said, I'm not here, I'm not present in the season of Advent, I wish I were doing more or something like that. But her spiritual director said, but you are still in Advent. And so the beauty of this framework is that it's always there underneath us, just as you might feel far from God, or you might have felt like you were distracted or something, but God is still there, present. And so we can always return to this whenever we need it.
That's probably a great place to wrap up. What I wanted to do in February is talk about repentance and returning and turning around, and that is just kind of a maybe the perfect way to put a bow on it almost. I love how you put that. And for people who want to connect with your podcast or your website and connect with you too more fully, where could they reach you and find you?
Yeah, so you can find me. I'm Jennifer Giles Kemper, and you can find me at sacredordinarydays.com. And like I said, our Facebook group, and it's a group, not a public page, although I have one of those as well. But the group is at facebook.com/group/sacredordinarydaystribe. And in there, you can engage with other folks who are having these same conversations and exploring these same practices and ideas, learn from them, teach them. It's been really neat. Mm. And on our website at Sacred Ordinary Days, you can get my Essentials workbook, which has all of the most essential elements of our planner, which is now sold out for this first edition. And each season has several pages for you to learn and then also begin working with those practices by engaging with six different areas of your life. Lacey and I talk about that more in the podcast, of course, as well. And then our podcast is Sacred Ordinary Days, and you can find that at bit.ly/SOD iTunes, and it's on SoundCloud as well, or you can find it on your favorite podcast app. Mm-hmm. On social media across the board, I'm at Jen Giles Kemper, J-E-N-N, and on Instagram, I'm at Sacred Ordinary Days, and then we use the hashtag Sacred Ordinary Days. So join us, and please say hi. I'd love to meet you.
That's great. And Lacey, what about you? Is there any space specifically that they can reach you for your perpetual calendar and things like that?
Yes, you can find me at my website, which is asacredjourney.net. And you can find me across the board. Facebook is my page, is A Sacred Journey. Social media, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram. And then you can find my calendar in my shop. I call it the Journey Shop, and you can find that at asacredjourney.net/shop, or you can go to Etsy as well and just search for A Sacred Journey. And I also have a collection of prayer beads that I've released for the season of Lent, so you can find those in the shop too, as well as some hand-lettered prints.
I really have been enjoying your podcast and following along, because I have to kind of pull those liturgical practices into my family life, because it's not kind of set up. We do follow a little bit of a liturgical idea at our church, but it's loosely followed. I mean, we follow it a little bit, but not the feast days and all that stuff. And so it's nice to bring it in devotionally. We do some devotions during meals and things like that, and bring it in more enriching ways. And so
helps. Well, and that's where we live our everyday lives. So it should be there.
Yeah. So it's a nice reminder, like, oh, this is what here's an idea we could do. And I think it presents a practical way to continue to sort of infuse our lives with the sacredness like that.
Well, I love hearing that. That's so encouraging. And that's the feedback that we've been getting. And I think our experience as well, that having these conversations has been really meaningful and enriching for us too. You know, that's why we're doing it. We're not the experts on a hill condescending to share our wisdom.
No, I think we've got ahas for ourselves every single
time. Yeah.
Every episode, every single conversation.
So thank you. Thanks so much for letting us come be here on Spark My Muse, and we're really grateful. Thanks, Lisa.
Yeah, thanks.
Show notes for this episode can be found at sparkmymuse.com. There you'll find details for websites and people and books mentioned in this episode, and sometimes you'll find photos and videos too. Please stop by and check it out.